This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dearest brothers and sisters and this is the final episode to the course تفسير of Surah Al-Fatiha has the eighth lesson now and alhamdulillah we thank Allah that he has brought us to the end of this journey. Personally, it's a time of mixed feelings for me. Alhamdulillah, very pleased with the amount that we've covered, the level of depth as well. But at the same time, sad that it comes to an end as well. But this is life, isn't it? All things come to an end, subhanAllah. So, last week we covered the verse, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So I think this is a bit loud. I'm going to fall off my chair. Last week we covered اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This, my brothers, is the first dua in the Qur'an, isn't it? It's the first supplication in the Qur'an. And what is that supplication? It is, guide us to الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. الصِّرَاط, we mentioned, it's not just any pathway. It is a pathway that is vast. And that makes sense because it's going to accommodate all the believers. It's a path that is clearly demarcated. It is clearly laid out. Which means that people that want to find this path, it's easy for them. It's not obscure, somewhere hidden. It's very clear that this is the path. And also, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned, it's a path that goes upwards. Remember this? Istiwa and i'tidal. Why? Because this path is leading you to where? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. And when you think about that, a number of things come to mind. The fact that it's the first dua in the Qur'an means what? Means that it is the most important dua that you could possibly know. That's the first point, isn't it? And this is compounded by the fact that Allah made it obligatory to say in every single salah, whether fard or nafil, isn't it? Plus, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, not only is it fard to say in every single salah, it's fard to say in every single rak'ah of every salah. Every single unit. And that means, how much time is there between one rak'ah and the next? A matter of minutes, right? For some people, a number of seconds. But, a matter of minutes. Between saying اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ and then saying it again اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. What does that mean? It means that we are in need of hidayah. So much so that the time between one rak'ah and the next rak'ah is too long to not ask Allah for hidayah. Because we need hidayah in every moment of our lives. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said it is the greatest dua of the Qur'an. And number two, it is the most beneficial because the one who has this dua accepted, Allah will place him on as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight pathway that has no crookedness, and enable him, therefore, to live in Allah's obedience and to stay clear of that which is disobedience to Allah and be protected from every evil in this life and the next. And so it's the most beneficial dua as well. And then he said, either you are on the straight path or what? Or you are either one of two type of people. مغضوب عليهم, upon whom there is anger, or الضالين, those who are astray. There is no other option. Either you are on الصراط المستقيم, or you are someone who is subject to anger, or you are someone who is misguided. SubhanAllah. So this is the first point. It is the most important dua of the Quran. It is the first dua of the Quran. And it is the most beneficial dua of the Quran. As-sirat, is that path or is that paths? Is that path or is that paths? Path. What does that mean? How many paths are there? There's only one. What does that mean if there's only one path? Okay, the destination is one, but sometimes you can reach the same place taking many different roads, right? So what does it mean there's only one path? There's no alternative route, very good. But what else? Anything more than this? Yes. It's easy to get misguided? No. What does it mean if there's only one path? And that path leads to Allah and His pleasure. And besides that, either you're going to be someone who's earning anger or someone who's misguided. What does that mean about one path? Yes. It's hard to achieve. Yes.
This is a Quranic roadmap.
It's a Quranic roadmap. Okay, interesting. Very good. Ahsant. It is the only path acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other path leads to Allah. Only this path. What does that mean therefore? It means that this idea that's been pushed by modernists and progressives, Muslims, they call themselves, that all paths lead to God, you must have heard this before, is absolutely incorrect. From the very beginning of the Quran, Allah makes that very clear. And then again and again, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The religion with Allah is which one? Islam. This is the only one that Allah accepts. And this, in a more technical terminology, the academics call it, the idea of salvific exclusivity. Salvific exclusivity means that salvation is exclusive to one religion. The opposite of this is what's called perennialism. And perennialism is this idea that salvation doesn't lie in just one religion. Any religion or certain religions can provide you with that. This is absolutely incorrect. There's only one path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down to reach him, and that is Islam. Okay. Now the thing is, wallahi, I was thinking about this. Why isn't it enough for us to say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم آمين? You ask Allah to guide you to the straight path. There's only one path, and it's مستقيم, straight, no crookedness. خلاص يعني آمين. Why do we then say صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those whom you blessed, not the path of those who anger is upon or who went astray? Isn't that like already obvious? Why don't you just say guide us to the straight path, full stop? Yes. No, this is incorrect, because the straight path already implies it's leading to a desired destination. And that desired destination is one of happiness. Yeah, that's what we said about the word as-sirat. Good attempt, but not the right answer. Yes. It's gone? It left the straight path. No problem. Yes, Adi. Adnan,
Iran.
Right, Allah is reminding us of people that came before.
Yeah.
Why is that necessary?
Because they were going down the wrong path.
Okay, so some people obviously didn't go down the right path, they went down the wrong path. But you already asked Allah to guide me to the straight path, isn't it? The khalas. Yes. They thought that it was the right path. Okay, interesting. So let's say that there is someone who's Christian sitting here, someone who's a Jew sitting here, someone who's a Hindu sitting here, and I say, let us pray to God. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Guide us all to the straight path without any crookedness. What do they say? Amen. Isn't it? Hindus thinking, yeah, this one. The Jewish person thinking, yeah, my one. The Christian is saying, yeah, no, my one. Ah, it's theoretical, isn't it? It's theoretical. It could be the straight path, and you think that refers to something else. I think it refers to something else. It's theoretical. It's open to interpretation, isn't it? Open to interpretation. Well, it's how you see, isn't it? I mean, it's relative. To you, that's a straight path. To me, this is a straight path. It's relative. That is why the next verse, Allah makes it go from being theoretical to being practical. Because once you say, guide me to the straight path, and then you say, no, not just any path, that path that was already traversed by certain individuals, which you can point to and analyze their life, then those people will start saying, hang, what do you mean? Hindu will say, well, who are these people, by the way? Just before I say amen to this, who are those people that you say that God blessed? We say the Prophet. They say, okay, this part I can't agree with, isn't it? Yeah. As for the others, they say, which people? I say, yeah, the Prophet, the last of the Prophets, and his companions. Will they say Ameen? Will they say Ameen? They won't say Ameen. They disagree with that. Now you took it from being theoretical to being practical. Yeah. So let us look at this verse in detail now. You say, Surat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those whom you an'amta alayhim, who you blessed. An'amta. In'am, this is the root word, in'am. It means to bless. Okay, it means to bless. The word in'am comes from the root of na'ama. A na'ama is someone who lived in comfort and luxury. It has another root word, which is nu'uma, which means relaxation and comfort. And that is why, it's quite interesting, that the Arabs would call the grazing livestock, the cows and the sheep. Anyone know what they're called? An'am. You know why? Because what do the cows and sheep do all day long? Relax. Eat grass all day long. Not care in the world. As opposed to animals of prey, which are always tense, looking to hunt. An'am. Same root word. So Allah says that the path of those whom Allah, you, did in'am of, you blessed. Question. Hasn't Allah blessed all people? Hasn't Allah blessed even the disbelievers? No? Don't they have food? Don't they have comforts in their life? So what does this mean? Does it include everyone? Who can help me understand this? Yes. What's your name first? What, Rayyan? Uh-huh, what's your answer? You know, try to be as nice as I can to the youngsters, but I can't say that's a good answer, I'm afraid. Sorry. Yes. The ones he blessed with? The deen. The ones he blessed with the deen. Okay. Anyone got a different answer?
Those who are not cursed.
Those who are?
Not cursed.
Not cursed. Okay. But you haven't even got there yet. You're just asking Allah, the ones who Allah you blessed. But we all blessed, no? Yes. Okay, blessed short term, because in the dunya, but in the akhirah, they are not going blessed. Okay, good. Yes. Blessed with Islam. Yes. Just as the other brother said, blessed with Islam. The religious blessing. Yeah? Not the worldly blessing, the religious blessing. Which one is greater? The religious blessing. Because if you're religiously blessed, it means that not only did you find comfort in this life, but you find it in the next life, subhanAllah. Which I find amazing, because Allah, you said to Allah, guide me to the straight path, isn't it? You said, you asked for what? hidayah. Then you never said the path of those who you guided. You didn't, did you? You said the path of those who you blessed. Why? Because if you're guided, you're blessed. Clear. But the root word of in'am, nu'uma, to be in a state of relaxation and comfort, that is the consequence of being guided. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطَمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ Allah says. In the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find this اطمئنان, comfort. They find this serenity. SubhanAllah. So you say, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ Who blessed these people? Allah. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ You know this ta? It means you. Yeah? So you said, you bless those people. No one else. And that teaches us that Allah has ownership over hidayah. No one can guide another person. Only Allah can guide a person. Only Allah holds guidance. And He gives it to those who are seeking it. And He doesn't give it to those who don't want it. An'amta alayhim. Now, if you wanted to say, but who exactly are these people? I want to know. Allah answers this question in another place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where He says, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, أُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ Those are the ones with those who Allah did in'am of, blessed. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ Four types of people are mentioned. The first of them are the prophets, because they are the best of the best. Who is the second type of people? As-Siddiqeen. Those who are excellent in bearing truth to their belief. When you say As-Siddiqeen, which Siddiq comes to your mind? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. MashaAllah, I think you've answered two questions right there. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Imam al-Razi rahimahullah said that this verse is a proof that what Ahlul Sunnah believe about Abu Bakr being the rightful Khalifa after the Prophet ﷺ is true. As opposed to what the other people say. Why? Because you ask Allah, guide us to the people that you blessed. Who are those people? The Prophets. Then directly after them are As-Siddiqeen. After the Prophet passes away, who should be the one who comes in charge? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Yeah? As-Siddiqeena wa-shuhada'i wa-salihin. Then the martyrs, may Allah make us from those people. And then those that are righteous. Question, can you go and find out about the lives of such people? Can you go and find out about the lives of the prophets? You know the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most, there is the most detailed account of the life of the Prophet. So much so that there is no other human being whose life is known in more detail than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now it's not theoretical anymore. Now it's very practical. And that's a big lesson for us, my brothers. A lot of people ask, especially when they start practicing, there are so many groups in Islam. I don't know which one's right. Which group is the right group? Have you ever asked this question to yourself? The simple answer is to know the right people who are following the authentic Islam, you need to learn who Allah said are the people who He blessed with Islam. Once you know those people, you will know how to be like them, and you will know those around you who are upon the authentic Islam. That's how you know. You know by studying the lives of those who Allah said were guided. Then you know who is guided. Yeah, then you know who is guided. So, Surat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Those are the people. Allah made it clear who those people are, and you can study their lives and you can ask to be like them. Surat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. One other lesson it teaches us is that the real role models for us, my brothers and sisters, are not the people who are living amongst us. The real role models for us are the people that have already come and gone. How? How does this verse prove this? That the real role models for me and you to look up to and to aspire to be like are not the people who we think are great in this world, even though they may be. Rather, it's the people that have already come and gone. How is this verse proving this point? Excellent. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Allahu Akbar. So I'm going to attempt to throw it. Bismillah. Because Allah said it in the past tense. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Which is the ones that you blessed, not the ones you are blessing. Do you get this? In the past tense. Okay, very good. Now let's look at the rest of the verse. After asking Allah to make you upon the straight path, the path who people have already come and gone, the prophets, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, the salihin, then you say, no, no. And on top of this, I don't want to be like these people. Yeah. And I was thinking about this, subhanAllah. If you think of it like a path, yeah, then imagine a scenario like this. A brother is getting married, Allahu Akbar. And on the way to his wedding hall, he gets lost. Allahu Akbar. There's a brother who's going to get married tomorrow, may Allah bless him. We're not talking about him, inshaAllah. He gets lost on the way to the wedding hall. Okay, now he's looking around. Phone's not working. His phone's not working. Allahu Akbar. Getting very tense. Wait a long time to get married. Yeah. So now he's lost. He says, okay, what can I do? He looks out the window of his car and he says, I need to find someone who's going to give me directions. Yeah. That's what he's going to do. He sees a guy who's got a camera slung over his shoulder and he's looking down at a map. He's going to ask him? Is he going to ask a tourist how to get to his destination? No. This guy, he's already lost. He's going to ask this guy. But he could ask another person. People that were coming with him to get to the wedding hall also got lost. Is it a good idea to ask those people as well? They're already lost as well. They're trying to get to where you want to get to, but they haven't got there yet. So you're not going to say to those people, okay, how should we get there? I'm stuck right now. What are you going to do? You're going to ask the people that already reached there, isn't it? The people that already got there, you're going to phone them up, or you're going to try and contact them. You started exactly where I started. How do you get to where you got to? See, in life, my brothers, when we take important decisions, there's many factors that come into play. One of the things which is really important to us when we're going to decide is we want to get expert opinion before we make our decision, isn't it? Say someone who wants to be rich, he wants to start a business and he wants to get rich, okay? So he's really passionate about this. He's going to do whatever it takes. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to read up on how to make a fantastic business. He goes into Waterstones, looks at all the books, picks them up. All these people saying, you know what? I got a PhD in how to become a millionaire. Allah, like a PhD in how to become a millionaire. This is good. But you know what? What's better than someone who knows how to be a billionaire is someone who is a billionaire, isn't it? So you're going to say, no, I'm not going to ask the guy who tells me he knows how to become rich. I'm going to ask the one who is rich. And subhanAllah, this is the same thing here. You're asking Allah to make you on the path of those who already succeeded. Because they are the experts. Allah made them the experts in guidance, isn't it? And that is the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it makes a lot of sense, even the flow of the surah. Then you say, صِرَاطُ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالضَّالِّينَ. Then you say, I don't want to be, in brackets, on the path. This is omitted because it's obvious. On the path of those, number one, who did. What's the translation of مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ? Some people translate it as, not the path of those who earned. Huh? Your anger, isn't it? But this is incorrect translation. Because nowhere does Allah say, those who earned your anger. Rather Allah says, those that anger was upon. Those whom anger was upon. What is the difference, my brothers and sisters, between saying, the path of those who earned your anger, versus the path of those who anger was upon. What's the difference?
If you say they earned it, it doesn't mean they got
it. Okay. But they both earned anger. The one that you're saying earned Allah's anger, it's clear.
It might not be actually upon them. Maybe it's pending.
Okay. Anything else?
On the past tense, another result. On the past tense, already anger on them. They earned anger.
No, both are the past tense. Both are past tense. The one who earned your anger, the ones who anger is upon. Okay, I see. This one is more like present and past, yeah? Okay. Anything else though? What's the key difference? Yes.
Anger was imposed on them.
Okay. If I said, you know, there's a brother here, he's sleeping, and I'm very angry with him. Or I say, there's a brother here sleeping, and anger is on him. What's the difference?
Giving a chance.
Giving a chance? Yes. Yes. He's passive, yes, he's passive. What does that mean then if it's passive? What? When you say something's passive, it means something's unknown. What is unknown? Oh, good. You don't know whose anger is upon them, isn't it? The whole idea of passive is that you took away the doer. It's unknown who is angry. Anger is upon them. Who is angry with you guys, isn't it? And that could mean a number of things. The first is that it is not just the anger of one entity on them. Many people are angry with them. Allah, His angels, and the prophets, and all righteous people. Their anger is upon them. Do you see this? And secondly, when you take away the person or the doer, it's as if you're saying, this person doesn't want his name to be associated with them. Do you get this? Allah doesn't want His name to be associated with those people, because they earned so much anger and became so despicable, Allah doesn't want anything to do with them. So Allah took His name away from them. But when it came to good people, you said the path of those who you blessed. When it came to bad people, those who anger was upon, Allah's name is not mentioned. Yeah, Allah doesn't want anything to do with them, subhanAllah. Okay, who are these people? The second group of people, Abbalin. Yeah, Abbalin is the plural of Baal. Baal linguistically means someone who's lost. Again, look at the connection between a pathway and being lost. Yeah, someone who's lost. But in terms of tafsir, Abbal, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, and please listen to this. He said, Abbal is the one who doesn't know the truth, is ignorant of it, but thinks he is upon the truth. Who is it? Doesn't know the truth, is ignorant of it, but thinks he's on the truth. Okay? I think this is called compounded ignorance, isn't it? I'm not sure. I think that's a technical term. As for maghdubi alayhim, those who anger was upon, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, they are the ghawi. Ghawi. Why did he say that? Ghawi is the one who follows his desires. And the Ghawi is the one, technically he said, is the one who follows his whims and desires and does things contrary to the truth whilst knowing what the truth is. He follows his whims and desires to do things contrary to the truth even though he knows what the truth is. I'll give you an example to summarize this. Imagine you have two children, okay? And you leave them in the front room, and there's guests going to come. So what you do is, you know, in the front room, you sometimes leave the biscuits and the cookies and the everything because the guests are going to come. So what do you say to your two kids? Huh? Don't eat the cookies, all right? Sorry for pointing at you there. Don't eat the cookies. You leave the room, you come back, no cookies. Okay? Now, one of your children wants to be a bit smart. Says, I didn't eat them, and I don't know what happened to them. The other child says, you know what? I made a mistake. I ate them all. You can see it all around my face. Yeah. Which one are you going to be more angry with? The first one, isn't it? Why? Because he knows and he's trying to cover it up. The second one just failed and didn't try to be smart about it. Yes? This is the example. Which one is worse? The first one. Which one does Allah mention first? The one who's misguided or the one who angers upon? Why? Because they're the worst of the two. What else? Well, we know that the Prophet ﷺ told us, as for the ones who anger was upon, they were the followers of Judaism. As for Abbalin, they were the Christians. And subhanAllah, when you read in the Quran, the way Allah describes the Bani Israel, it fits this description that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah gave, that they are al-ghawi, followers of their desires, doing things which are wrong, though they know it's right. Like Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 72, وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا Anyone know? مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوهُ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أحسنت. Pass this down, please. Allah says, and a party of them, meaning from Bani Israel, they heard the speech of God, then they decided to distort it after they fully understood it and they knew what they were doing all along. Do you see? And despite all the other negative traits like killing their prophets. Yeah, killing their prophets. I mean, it fits aptly with the description Allah gave, غَيْلْ مَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Yeah, those who anger was upon. As for the Christians, Allah says in the Quran that from all of the people, the ones that are closest to you Muslims are An-Nasara, the Christians. Okay, but the thing is, my brothers, if they're ignorant and they thought they were right, why are they going to be punished? Isn't it? If you're ignorant, khalas, you don't know, then you're excused. Isn't it? Okay, fair enough. The other people, they knew and then, despite knowing, they chose to do things wrong. Those other people, you said they didn't know the truth. Who can answer this question? Does the question make sense? Yeah? Yes, Akhi, in the back. Okay, this is going to be the prize, yeah? I think they're tasty as well. The brother said they had the opportunity to know the truth, but they didn't pursue. Okay. Yes.
The Jews, they were given the knowledge and they acted wrong.
Yep.
The Christians, they weren't given the knowledge, but they still acted wrong before.
Didn't they have a prophet? Didn't they have a scripture? They didn't have the desire to? You know what? SubhanAllah. Another place in the Quran, Ajib, Allah describes the Nasara, he said about them in Surah Al-Hadid, وَرَهْبَانِيَّ إِبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبَنَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ Allah says about the Christians that they invented monasticism. You know what monasticism is? It's when the person says, I'm khalas to the world. I'm going to live in a monastery. I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to have any luxuries in my life. Allah said that was an innovation that they did. مَا كَتَبَنَا عَلَيْهِمْ We did not prescribe that on them. إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ According to one tafsir, Allah tells us their motivation. Their motivation was to seek God's pleasure. Yeah. Their motivation initially was to seek God's pleasure. That's why they invented this bid'ah of monasticism. So they had the desire. Why then are there people who failed and are being condemned from the very beginning of the Quran? Yes. Ooh, okay, this is good. They didn't follow their prophet Isa alayhi salam. It's good. It's closer. But it's more than that. Ooh, that's even closer. They disbelieved in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very good. This is half the answer though. Yes. Okay, very similar to what the Prophet said. Ahmed, another name of the Prophet, is mentioned in Al-Injil. When they believe in him when he came. It's what the brother mentioned. This is still half the answer though. What do you think? Anything coming to your mind? Yes, sir.
Is it because they're not truly monotheistic and they associate God with like three things?
Okay, because they believe in the Trinity. Yeah, so this is like them, you know, their misguidance. Yeah, but we're saying that they don't know the truth. They're ignorant of it, but they think they're on the truth. Okay, let me ask another question. Is it really possible for a human being to believe that there are three gods? Or that God exists in three entities? Or that God has a son? Is it possible for a sensible human being to believe this? Is it possible for a person now to still be a Christian even though he doesn't know where the Bible came from? Doesn't even know what language is the original Bible. It's not possible, really, is it? I told you the story that Jehovah's Witness, when they came to my house recently. Have I mentioned this? They came just a few months ago. I opened the door by accident. And they said, they were nice, wallahi, they're always nice. there was an old lady and a man. The man was speaking. And he said, what do you think about climate change? Is this a trick question? He goes, no, what do you think? I think it's not good. What do you think? He says, you know what God said about the climate? He's about to quote something. I said, how do you know God said this? He said, it's in the Bible. I said, how do you know that this is the real Bible? He said, what do you mean? I said, is this exactly what the Bible says? Or is it a translation? He said, it's a translation. I said, okay, so what is the original language of the Bible? He said, I don't know. I said, what? You don't know? He said, but this is a translation. I said, so if I want to believe what you're saying and ask, where is the original source? You're saying you don't know where the original source is. You don't even know what language the original source is. He said, no, it's in Aramaic. I said, okay, so if it was in Aramaic, then can I see it? Because it doesn't exist anymore. I said, so it doesn't exist anymore, and you're not sure what language it is in, so how then can you say with confidence that God said anything? You don't know the source or where God said what he said. Isn't it? The lady jumped in. She said, no, it was in Arabic. I said, Arabic, they never used to speak it back then. She goes, sorry, my mistake. Then they said, we'll come back to you next week. Yeah, this is exactly, they said, we'll come back to you next week. So, Danny, pleading ignorant is not a justification when the evidence is so huge, isn't it? Like, it happens every, like, someone goes down the no entry, okay? He's missed the sign. All the cars are pointing the other way. People are saying, hang on a minute, no entry. And then the coppers stop him, and what do you say? I don't really know what's going on. You're going to say, is it? Explain that to the judge. Isn't it? So, ignorance is not always an excuse. Okay? Especially when the evidence is so huge. Okay? That is why they failed. They too failed. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْضَّالِينَ. Both of them failed. Now, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, and this is to summarize, that the sins of the sons of Adam fit into one of these two. Either they are done by a dal, someone who thinks he knows but he doesn't know, or someone who is a ghawi, someone who is just following his desires and whims. And this relates then not just to the followers of Judaism and Christianity, but all people. That all people are being categorized under these two categories. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, it is us that are behaving like this, isn't it? Sometimes we pretend that we don't know, or sometimes we know and we still do the wrong thing. And that is why we ask Allah so often, Allah guide us. And make us like those who you said succeeded in their life. And don't make us like these people who anger was upon or they went astray. We don't want to be anything like that. And then what is left? Ameen. What does Ameen mean? Allahumma stajib. It means, oh Allah, accept. See, now when you realize the power of the dua and the importance and the benefit, when you say Ameen, you say it from the heart, isn't it? And subhanAllah, in a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ said, when the Imam says Ameen, say Ameen. For whoever has his Ameen coincide with the Ameen of who? The angels. See, he never said the Imam. What does that mean? It means when the Imam is saying Ameen, angels are around and saying Ameen too. So whoever coincides his Ameen with the Ameen of the angels will have his previous sins forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Unbelievable. And we do that as a minimum 17 times a day. Yeah. So this, my brothers and sisters, brings us to the end of the dars and the course. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us, to reward us, to forgive us for our shortcomings and our mistakes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an. People who seek to understand it and to live by it and to call others to the message of the Qur'an. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallah wa hamdi. Ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. I believe we have something now. A program. I think there is, inshallah, some program for food for everyone. So just stay put, inshallah. Anyone has any questions? They can ask questions. A few minutes. Yes. In the salah, and even when you hear it without the salah, it's still because of dua. You say Ameen. Yeah. Yes. Okay. What was that? Okay, so the first root word is na'ama. This is the verbal root. And well, and the nominal root is nu'uma. Nu'uma. Relaxation and comfort. So, al-ghawi. Ghain, alif, waw, ya. Yes. And sisters can ask questions. If they leave it at the stairs, we can get it? Yeah? Okay. Sisters, if you want to ask questions, leave them on a piece of paper at the bottom of the stairs. We'll collect it now, inshallah. Yes. Yep. Okay. Yes, it's true that followers of Judaism, they've historically been around longer. They've had more prophets sent to them and they've always experienced more miracles as opposed to the Christians. Yes, it's true. It's a good point. Yes, I think.